What's going on, y'all, and welcome back to Double M Live. You got Mike Nice, it's DJ Meez. We are powered by BetOnline.ag. Mike, episode 105, Brody.
Whew, episode 105, Double M Live. You know, we in the building, warm studios.
Still
want
to be a rapper.
Got a couple bars, not too much. I'm more of a singer.
Sing right now.
The vocals.
Sing right now for the people, bro.
I look like Omarion versus, bro.
Hey, bro. I don't know if you could dance like Omarion.
I'm a singer, bro. I'm Mario. Just get me to the vocals. I'll hold it down for the ladies. But yes, 105 Double M Live. We're here in warm studios. It's a beautiful evening. Got a nice little red cup here. You know, don't worry. The water's not too far. Got the water on me too always. But when you got the red cup, you know it's a different type of vibe. You feel me, Mark? You don't know what I'm talking about?
I mean, you can't put water in a red cup.
I'm not putting water in no red cup. I don't know about you.
I mean, not tonight, but I'm just talking about in general. In general, you can have, you know, anything can be in a red cup. That's why it's always safe.
Sure. Sure. But yeah, we here, man. It's good to be back. Last episode, for those who haven't got a chance to tune in, and for those who have tuned in, episode 104 was a real heavy one. We got into some serious conversations in terms of Wade versus Roe, in terms of the gun violence that's, you know, really moving across this country. We talked about Independence Day and whatnot, but shout out to everybody who got the chance to tune in. If you haven't got a chance, you know, Double M, we out there. iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, you know, check us out. YouTube as well if you want to see the video footage of from the episode. But you know, we're going to keep it rolling. Got another episode here to get into. And Double M going to keep shooting for the moon.
Definitely, man. You know how we rock. We are here in Warm Studio. Shout out to Warm. We all rise media. And as we continue to grow together, you guys are going to see a lot more work going in. But make sure you guys hit that like button, subscribe button right now. But let's get right into it, Mike, as we move into this next season of Double M and into the sports world as well. We're talking about the Boston Celtics. Woo, we've had time to mourn. We've had time to go over the tragic ending to the season in the NBA Finals, though. Celtics fall 6 games to the Golden State Warriors. Everyone knows that. But as we are recording here on July 12th, we are now in the midst of the off season. We're talking about Summer League. Celtics have had a couple games during the Summer League. Celtics have made a couple of moves during this off season as well. And that's what we're going to break down. You know, in the draft, they drafted a point guard in the second round by J.D. Davison. And then the moves that they made in acquiring Malcolm Brogdon from the Indiana Pacers and Danilo Gallinari from the San Antonio Spurs, formerly from the Atlanta Hawks. Some major moves to add on to the team. You know, when you gain people, you lose people. We lost Aaron Nesmith. That just did not pan out at all. Daniel Theis, great soldier for the Celtics. Mike's waving him off. Come on, brother. Come on, great soldier for this.
On Mad Real World on Chappelle Show.
Damn, bro, get that meme up there. Deuces.
You gotta throw that up.
So we lost Daniel Theis, Aaron Nesmith, and then
couple
you know,
of the dancing dudes off the bench.
Mike disrespectful, man. Mike disrespectful, but the bench has cleared out and made room for Danilo Gallinari, Malcolm Brogdon. I believe there's still spots for 3 more players that the Celtics can acquire. Brad Stevens just had his press conference with those two guys. Takeaways from what you heard from Brad Stevens and Malcolm Brogdon and Danilo Gallinari.
Well, first and foremost, again, tough way for the Celtics to end off their year. While you can say, you know, in this Tatum and Brown era, or Tatum Brown smart, however you want to look at it, they took another leap in terms of, you know, making it to the finals. Obviously, the ultimate goal is to win it, but having a chance to get there is huge. You know, my personal opinion, you know, people look at the finals in different type of ways. A lot of the Celtics' mistakes throughout the course of the playoffs caught up to them in the finals, going up against a very elite team in the Golden State Warriors. I personally feel like if the Golden State Warriors would have faced the Milwaukee Bucks, the Miami Heat, they would have ran through them just like they kind of got through the Celtics, you know. So shout out to the Warriors and continuing their dynasty and Curry getting another ring and those guys getting another ring. But also shout out to the Celtics for making that next leap and getting to the finals, and hopefully they can continue to push forward and get over the hump and get, bring home Brandon 18 to Boston. Now, when we get into the offseason, let me make sure this is clear. From the day Brad Stevens stepped away from head coaching and became the general manager replacing Danny Ainge, I immediately loved it, because I felt as if, while Brad Stevens has a great basketball mind, that basketball mind was only going to go so far as a coach. And I say that in terms of, if you look at the teams he's had over the years while he was coaching, his first couple of years, he was coaching nothing but rookies and bums. Rookies and bums who were just trying to scratch and claw, and, oh man, I just want some minutes. Oh, I just want to show the coach I can play well in these limited minutes. Oh, I just want to get a chance and opportunity. That's kind of what you're dealing with as a college coach, and especially a college coach in these smaller schools. Butler, you know, is not Kentucky or Duke or North Carolina. You know, Brad Stevens is a coach coming from a college like that, where you got a guys who maybe not heavily recruited, but just looking for a chance to shine. And those are the kind of teams Brad Stevens was coaching. Then as years went on, when kind of Isaiah Thomas kind of started that a little bit in terms of, now you got a big-time all-star player. Then, you know, you got the growth of Tatum and Brown. You try to bring in Hayward. You bring in Horford. You bring in Kyrie. You bring in Kemba. You start bringing in guys as well as having young guys really start to, you know, grow and develop. Started getting a little, I wouldn't say it got too tough for Brad.
It got tough. Obviously, you won't say it, I will. It got tough for Brad Stevens.
Obviously, when the voices start getting louder and it's not rookies and bums you have to deal with, it's superstar caliber players, all-star caliber players, it kind of probably got a little overwhelming for Brad. And that doesn't take away from what a great basketball mind he has. It just, when you're trying to talk in a locker room and at a practice and in a timeout, and players are like, yo, yeah, cool, bro. It just wasn't clicking and connecting, I feel like. And that's one of many other situations I think those Celtics teams were dealing with when Brad Stevens was the coach. But I obviously felt, again, when he shifted to GM instead of coach, I loved it, because I thought his basketball mind would be better suited for the offices instead of the sidelines.
And he's in a rare situation, not to cut you off, where he knows the team. Oh, he knows the personnel. He knows the players. So he'll know what fits with them and what wanted.
I believe he definitely understands that. He understood that when he was a coach. But, you know, he didn't necessarily have the powers to do the things that Danny Ainge was doing. Danny Ainge was trying to live and die through the draft, basically, and hope that he can draft some guys who can be the next big piece for the team. Brad Stevens ain't playing that. And we've seen from this current offseason, as they're getting ready to go into the 2022-2023 season, Brad Stevens is trying to put pieces, veteran pieces, around the core players of Tatum and Brown and Smart that can help propel this team to championship, continued championship type of success. This past season, they brought back Horford. You know, they moved some things around. You know, who's the other person that they had off the bench? They had Josh Richardson and Schroeder to start the year. Some veteran guys. But obviously the team, no one was necessarily looking at the Celtics as, okay, this is the team that's going to get to that level in terms of championship. But they got there. And now Brad Stevens is continuing down that trend. Okay, you know, we need to add on to that. Obviously keeping some veteran players there, but we need more. We can't necessarily depend on young guys to carry us. If you saw the finals, you had two games, I feel like, where the bench only gave you 5 points. And a lot of those guys coming off the bench are second and third year guys like Peyton Pritchard, Grant Williams. Like, that's not going to do it for you too much. But this year, with acquiring Gallinari, acquiring Brogdon, now you add in some proven guys. And I've been preaching this for the longest time. You have Tatum and Brown, who are stars in this league, continuing to develop and grow. Don't put rookies and add rookies to these guys, because, like we've always said, Marv, it's rare that you have two young players reach that level of success so early in their careers.
Yep.
But now the fact that you have two players who are reaching this level of success so young in their careers, you just want to put hungry veterans around them who probably knows what it takes to get to that level, been in this league long enough to know how to win games. And that's all Tatum and Brown need. And I, I'm very happy that you brought on guys like Danilo Gallinari, Malcolm Brogdon, on top of still having veteran guys like Horford around, you know, Smart still there. Derek White's also been in the league for a couple of years. Now you have guys there, and I think Brad Stevens continuing to move in that direction and trying to bring veteran players to this team.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of great pieces made. The Malcolm Brogdon piece, man, I don't know. I'm so excited about Malcolm Brogdon being on this team. As soon as the Pacers traded for Tyrese Halliburton in the middle of the season, I was like, so what's the word? What's the word? Because obviously the Pacers were going to move in another direction. So when the offseason hit, I remember even tweeting, I'm like, yo, the Celtics need to make a move. You know, a lot of people are saying, you know, Marcus Smart, move him or get rid of this and that. All I said is, Celtics just need to find a way to get Malcolm Brogdon on this team. Find a way to get Malcolm Brogdon, and a lot of what the Celtics struggled with in the finals would have been erased. Mm-hmm. A lot of it. Veteran leadership. Look, I love Tatum, I love Brown, and I love what they did this year. One thing that they've proven to us throughout this year is they're not leaders.
Nope.
they're not great leaders for this team. And if things are not going well, like they weren't going to finals, they weren't going to be the voices to shift things. You bring in Malcolm Brogdon. Another thing that Tatum and Brown struggled with was ball handling. It irks me to my core that Tatum all year has to go living with the fact that he had the most turnovers that any players ever had
in a playoff run.
We're talking about, there's been long runs from a lot of great players. The Michael Jordans, the LeBron James, the Magic Johnsons. You're telling me none of them had more turnovers than Jason Tatum? That is not a good look at all. And it's chronicled already about Jaylen Brown and his dribbling. And the man just can't dribble. I see him with T-Mac right now. See him working on his game. We know JB's going to continue to elevate. But having another ball handler that wasn't Marcus Smart was going to be essential. Marcus Smart was the only ball handler. And Marcus Smart is another high turnover player. So you get Malcolm Brogdon to add on to, now it makes sense to have Derek White. Mm-hmm. See, Derek White was a little, you didn't know where he really fit in. But you have Derek White on this team now with a Malcolm Brogdon, Marcus Smart, three ball handlers that can really move the ball around, that know how to score, and Brogdon can score. This is a guy who's been averaging 19 to 20 points his whole career. So at first when the reports came out, right, and said, oh, he's going to be sixth man, I was upset. My vision is having Brogdon, Smart, Brown, Tatum, Rob Williams to start off the game. That's how I want to see it. Have Smart and Brogdon play off each other. But as I start to, you know, let this offseason transaction happen a little more, Brogdon coming off the bench starts to make a little more sense to me. Because now you're bringing not only someone who can bring the ball up when Smart or another guard is off the floor, but you're bringing someone who can score off mm-hmm. the bench. Someone that, you know, when he has the ball, he can get a bucket. That's what Brogdon does. And instead of having Horford come off the bench and get the bucket, you're having Brogdon do it. And Grant Williams taking another development into his career. I think the Celtics still need another wing. That's where maybe Danilo Gallinari comes in. But Gallinari, for me, Gallinari move, Mike, is more of a Horford insurance. It's we're not going to play Horford 30 minutes a game. We're probably going to give him a lot of DNPs. So when Horford doesn't play on a random Thursday, that's when we put Gallinari. Gallinari's great. Gallinari's not going to play much in the playoffs, if we're being super honest. He can't play defense. It's been the mark of his whole career. But during the season, when you need buckets, points like that, there's injuries, that's what Gallinari's there, and he's the perfect insurance. But he's not going to be a guy in the playoffs where we're going to see big games. We're not going to have big games from Gallinari because of, obviously, his lack of defense.
I would have said he won't play at all in the playoffs.
It's going to be tough for Gallinari to play. He barely played in big games when he was with his other team. It's going to be tough.
I think due to the fact that he stretches the floor when you have a lot of guys who handle the ball, like Tatum, like Brown, like Smart, like Brogdon, he's going to be valuable. There might be lineups where you might see Horford at the five, Gallinari at the four, Tatum, Brown, Smart, Tatum, Brown, Brogdon.
Those playoffs?
It's very in terms of matchups, it's possible. If you're looking for guys who could stretch the floor, obviously Horford gives you that stretch the floor and that element of defense and rebound
They'll put Grant over Gallinari when the playoffs, when the lineups get smaller.
Because of the defense aspect.
And I'm not saying Gallinari's going to play. You know what I'm saying? Gallinari's going to play. I think in the playoffs, when you shrink the lineups, he's not going to have those big minutes. And that's been his whole career. It's not something that we're just finding. And the guy's older as well.
This he is about 33. 33
going to be 34. So it's not like some revelation here that's going on.
I mean, either way, I'm happy that Gallinari's on the team. Because at the end of the day, you have another stretch big, which is great to have when you have a team ball handler heavy. Having another stretch big on the floor is huge. Going back to what you brought up about the whole signing of Brogdon and starter six man, you know, you definitely heard, and as soon as the trade happened, you definitely heard the conversations of, well, where does this leave Smart? Is Smart the odd man out, and is Smart going to get traded? And, like, you definitely heard the conversations. That's something that's never crossed my mind in terms of getting rid of Smart, because I'm actually very excited to have those two guys on the same team. And I mean, Brogdon kind of alluded to this in the press conference he had, his introductory press conference. He can't wait to push Marcus Smart. Because, I mean, while they kind of play the same position, they do things differently, which is going to be great to have both of them on the court together. Smart can really focus. When Brogdon's on the floor, Smart can really focus on being a 3-and-D guy. And we all know this is the reigning defensive player of the year. And obviously, his three-point shot is a little, you know, questionable at times, but if he's on the floor with Brogdon, with Tatum and Brogdon, especially Brown a little bit, I think Smart shot selection is going to be much better.
Oh my god!
Because he's going to get similar to the way Derek White was getting open shots left and right. Smart's going to see a lot of shots like that as well if he's on the court with Brogdon.
It's gonna be beautiful, because already Smart was getting good shots of Brown and Tatum's kick and drive, right?
It's going to be,
but now you have Brogdon doing the kick and drive and the ball movement. You imagine kicking it out to Tatum. They're going to obviously rush Tatum. Tatum kicks it out to Brown, and then boom, it's going to be Smart.
And he's going to get open shots.
So,
and I trust Smart making open shots more than I do Derek White.
Listen, bro.
Which is crazy to say, but it's just the truth. So, I don't think they need to change that starting lineup.
No, they will. They won't. I mean, they'll keep the double bigs.
Brogdon's going to get a lot of playing time.
Oh, yeah.
And not only because of, you never know who's going to be injured, because now you got a team full of guys who can miss a lot of time. Let's hope that that's not the case.
I mean, Gallinari and Brogdon are not two Ironmen.
Smart's not Ironman. Brown, Horford, Rob Williams. Like, you got a lot of guys on this team who can easily miss a chunk of time depending on what goes on. You know, obviously, Celtics hoping that's not the case, and you got...
But that's what depth. Now you have depth.
Yeah, now you have depth. And again, like you said, they got maybe three more roster spots where they can add on a few guys, whether it be guys who may come from the summer league team or other guys who are sitting out there in free agency. Obviously, you want health to be on the Celtics side, but the depth part is huge in being able to. And also, while you were talking, I was thinking that there's lineups you can probably go to during the season. Probably not in the playoffs, but there's definitely lineups you can go to the season where you can sit Tatum and Brown together. You can go into a fourth quarter having a lead and say, hey, Tatum and Brown, y'all could chill out right now if we have a lead going into the fourth. Because I can easily see lineups out there if you want to rest those two guys, your star players who maybe need a little break, who've been doing a lot of work, save their legs, save their energy, save their stamina. You can go to a Smart, Brogdon, Derek White, Grant, Horford lineup and rest Tatum and Brown. And that's all a part of having depth. Would you do that if there was no Brogdon and you wanted to throw Pritchard out there? No, because you don't have trust in that lineup. But now that's a veteran lineup I just listed of guys who can play out there if you wanted to give Tatum and Brown a rest at the same time. And that's not something that you usually saw. One of those guys are always on the court. Unless it's a blowout, one of those guys are always on the court, which is great. But now you don't have to do that. I would love to see those guys play a lot and succeed and have great success.
I don't know how much we'll see a lineup like that, but what you just sparked to me, because you can kill that lineup defensively, attack that lineup anyways. But what I would love to see, what you just sparked up, is there's going to be times where we do see, and we saw a little bit, Brad used to do this a lot sometime, three guard lineups, where now there's going to be times where you see a Brogdon Smart, Derek White, one of the Jays, and a center, and a big. Man, that's going to be fun. That'll be intriguing. Or Pritchard, Smart, Brogdon. Because the thing about Brogdon, he's a big cat.
About 6'4".
He's 6'5".
He's 6'5".
Brogdon is a 6'5 guard. He's a big dude. So you can do a Pritchard, Smart, Brogdon, one of the Jays, and then a Rob Williams or Horford or Grant if you want to go really small and, you know, spread out. There's some fun lineups there. It's on to Ime to really explore it during the season. One thing, Ime was a great coach. I loved him last year. One thing I didn't see much of him being experimental with the lineups. A lot of it had to do with injuries. You know, Celtics didn't have all the full roster throughout the season for him to.
He with them 8-9 guys.
He played 7-8 dudes for most of the season. And there was times when the Celtics were really rolling where he could have, you know, really see what you had with a Hauser or a Stauskas, all these dudes Brad Stevens got that didn't play a minute on the court. Now that you have depth and stuff, just test things out during the season. Test different lineups out. Even if it's for a game here, see, it's like, okay, I can use that for the future if we ever find ourselves in this situation. That's what Brad Stevens did a lot. He used to test a lot of lineups instead of just sticking to a thing. Like Doc Rivers was very stubborn, right? Doc Rivers stuck with his guys or how he wanted his lineups to be experimental. We don't always have to do the double big lineup with Horford and Rob Williams. That lineup drives me crazy. I know it's been working, but it drives me nuts. NBA, it pisses me. It irks my soul, especially against when we were playing against Golden State. Story for another time. Irks my soul, but switch things up.
Yeah, and I mean, that's another thing I think Brad spoke upon in the press conference today with Gallinari and Brogdon. He's happy to give Ime a little more versatility and depth with lineups he can use. Because, you know, like we both just said, especially going through the playoffs, Celtics rocked with 8 guys, and that was it. 8 guys was touching that floor. You know, 7-8 guys was getting on the floor. Never gave anybody else a chance in any other type of situation. It was going to be those 7-8 guys. Now with this team, you got to give a couple, like, you're going to play Gallinari. You're going to play, who's off the bench? Gallinari, White, Grant.
Brogdon.
You got to go 9 deep.
Pritchard
might be the odd man out, unfortunately, and that's okay. Like I said from the jump, I'm one for veteran guys getting opportunities. Pritchard, did he suck last season? No. But when he got into the playoffs and when the lights got the super brightest, Pritchard was nowhere to be found. Grant Williams was nowhere to be found. And that's not a knock on them. It's just, hey, young in their careers, the lights are very bright, and you going up against a veteran team, a dynasty, like, it's not going to be easy. Like, I don't believe the lights are going to be too bright for Brogdon and Gallinari if they were in that situation going to get against Golden State. But yeah, I think what Brad is trying to do is give Ime versatility, one, and two, obviously, give guys that you can trust. He looked down last season, you look down on the bench after you get past Derek White and Grant and Pritchard. Now you're looking at Stauskas and Marcus Fitz or whatever his name was and Hoosier. Like, Ime was probably like, yeah, cool. Now you look down the bench. Okay, Brogdon ready to step up. Derek White ready to step up. Grant Williams, going into your fourth year now. You already showing growth and improvement. You know, you got guys who you can depend on now. So I think that's huge. And, you know, Brad said ownership is giving them free reign to make whatever moves. They still have money to use. They still have roster spots. So we have to see now what else they do to add on to this team. Because like Brad said, he's not trying to subtract. He's only trying to add to what the team has going on for them right now.
Give my boy Luke Kornet some playing time.
He said that too. He said that.
His first stint around wasn't bad. My boy Kornet.
I mean,
dude's 7 feet.
What other big men are available out there? I don't know.
Aaron Baines.
At least Aaron Baines can play inside and stretch the floor.
Aaron Baines out there, my boy. I wouldn't mind seeing.
I'd give Aaron Baines a shot over Kornet.
There's no other bigs out there, really.
DeAndre Jordan? No. I mean, me, I was always one to be like, yo, if we could find somebody who can give you pretty much what Rob does when Rob is not playing, I would love to have something like that. That's why I didn't necessarily have a major problem with Tice. Tice just wasn't a Rob Williams. He wasn't a game changer like Rob Williams. But if you can have somebody who can kind of fill in that role if Rob Williams is out, who could come in and kind of protect the paint, get a couple blocks, and rebound, like Kornet, if I have a feeling that dude, because when he plays against
just gotta give
the starters and second-tier guys, he's going to get bodied.
Just give my guy some time.
This ain't scrub time when you're going against Bubs at the end of the fourth quarter.
You got to give him time, hey, bro.
He got to show up.
That's my boy.
He got to show up in the preseason.
That's my boy, Luke Kornet. I want to see him get some time, see what he can do. Miss a couple shots there, stretch the floor a little bit. Who knows?
We'll see. Brad Stevens said they're going to give him the opportunity to shine, but they're definitely looking for another big. So take that with however you may want to take it. Celtics still got an opportunity to make a couple moves, whether it comes from free agency or from guys they take from summer league. It remains to be seen, but the offseason is still underway. There's a lot of moves that got to be made still league-wide in terms of trade demands and people who want to get moved and different stuff like that. The offseason is still somewhat young.
Yeah, so there's still some moves to be made, but right now when you look at like the betting favorites and stuff, Celtics are there with the moves that they made with Brogdon and in Gallinari. They're obviously upgraded.
So the second best team in the East.
Who's better? Who has a better roster than the Boston Celtics in the East?
I'm sorry, bro. Giannis and Middleton and Jrue Holiday still scary.
They're scary, but Celtics are a better team.
All around team, sure. Better, deeper roster, yeah. But Giannis is arguably the best player in the league.
Absolutely. Not arguably. He is. He's the best player in the league.
So, but yeah. Other than Milwaukee.
Celtics right now have to be the favorites. They just
to
have
come out to the East.
Yeah. They have to be the favorites to come out the East. Which means that it's no more coming off sluggish in the first half of the season.
Yeah, they can't pull that shit again.
You're going to be hunted now. You're going to be hunted. There's no old Jason Tatum's a nice story, up and come. No, they're treating you like a superstar. Jaylen Brown, they see what you can do in the league right now. They're game planning for you guys. And teams are going to circle your matchup every night on the calendar. So be ready for that.
Celtics just have to find a way to sustain what they did second half of last season from October on. Like, the Tatum we saw from January on is not the Tatum we saw from October to December. Yeah. He has to find a way to sustain that for, because, you know, we've said that if Tatum sustains that for a full season, you're in the MVP conversation.
Easy.
Celtics sustain that type of play, you're battling for the best record in the league easily. So, I mean, just got to sustain it. And I think definitely next year they'll be better. Because Ime's there for now another second year. Players are more comfortable in the system. They know what to expect from them. They know what style of basketball they're going to be requested and demanded to play. They know what the energy is going to be like. They know what the culture is. I think all of that stuff has been established with Ime, especially because they had such a deep run. It's even more established with the team. And bringing in guys like Gallinari and Brogdon, it's not like, oh, we're young players just trying to figure it out. They're going to come in like, all right, coach, all right, team, this is the system. All right, let's get to it. I'm going to jump right into it, and this is what it's going to be. So
they have an identity.
They have an identity, and I'm looking forward to the Celtics coming out at the beginning of the next season, kicking it full gear from the jump.
Yeah, give us a healthy season.
That's it. Health. Health has to be on the side.
I mean, that, every team probably goes into the season thinking if they're healthy, they can make some noise. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting. I'm excited, though. I'm going into this season with a lot of excitement. Like, the excitement I have right now is very similar to the excitement I had in 2018. Very similar to that excitement of when we had the Kyrie, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford. You guys remember the damn picture.
Like, just the that, feeling.
That I had the same exact excitement exact that I had feeling. In 2018 going into that year. I'm having that same feeling again.
It's a different feeling when you coming out of off season with the moves that are made and be like, ah, we got a chance to make it to the finals. Especially you just did it the season before, but then you make moves to help upgrade your team. It's a great feeling going into a season as a fan looking at your team like, yeah, we got an opportunity to get there.
Yeah.
It's different. It's different.
Once again, you guys are tuned into Double M Live, powered by BetOnline AG. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's NBA Finals, the NHL Hockey Conference Finals, MLB scores, and all the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Need the website or use a mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus to your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50. Get the bonus to get into the action. Once again, our promo code is CLNS50. BetOnline, where the game starts. Moving on with Double M Live, Mike. You know, this there's been so much going on outside of sports, entertainment-wise. I don't know if you remember this, but our very first episode.
Shout out to T-Mac.
We spoke about R. Kelly. That was our first episode 4 years ago, baby.
Just about.
About 4 years ago, we spoke about R. Kelly, and that's when the documentary had come out.
Surviving R. Kelly.
Surviving R. Kelly. And, you know, we started just giving our thoughts on it. And this was the first time when we really said, we heard the Dave Chappelle skits and, you know, pissing on girls and he like an underage woman, but we didn't know, right? And we finally watched that documentary. We spoke about it and stuff. And now recent news has come out that he's been locked up for a couple years now, but his hearing just happened and he's getting 30 years. R. Kelly's probably in his, what, 50s right now?
I believe he's in his 50s.
In his 50s, getting 30 years, and that's not, he's still got a bunch of other cases that he has to go through. The man about to do life, pretty much. 30 years for R. Kelly, and that's just where we are right now with him, his where his legacy is at. I mean, you don't really hear people really talk about him much anymore. His music doesn't really get socially played anywhere. What are your thoughts with this R. Kelly stuff?
The man got what he deserved. Straight up. I don't see any other way to put it. I don't know how you could try to anybody can try to walk in here, try to convince me otherwise. It ain't happening. R. Kelly got everything coming his way. Can I sit here and say everything that was said in that Surviving R. Kelly is true? At the end of the day, I wasn't fully there. I don't know how everything unfolded. But even prior to the Surviving R. Kelly, that was not the first time we heard about him being the type of monster that he is, in terms of,
it's a sick Negro
trying to seduce young women, trying to entrap young women. And don't get it twisted. While R. Kelly's sick and twisted, sick Negro, like Marv just said, listening to Surviving R. Kelly, some of these families and these parents and guardians got a weird mindset too of,
oh, bro,
hey, it's R. Kelly. We're going to give our daughter to him and let him have full control. And
because take our daughter's career.
We want our daughter to be a star so bad that we just going to let her go be with this man and not have any cares about it. That's a whole different conversation with those parents who allow that to happen. But at the end of the day, this is on R. Kelly, who you know, orchestrated the majority of this. And like I said, he got what came his way. 30 years on top of, you said he had other, he has other cases that are going to be coming down the line. He's going to do a lot of time in prison. And that's what he gets. Like, you're a monster. You treat women the way you did. You imprison and trap women. You brainwash them. The different type of things that have been said about it, the different type of things that he's done. He tried to do that sit down one-on-one interview with Gail, what's her name? Oprah's homegirl.
King.
Yeah, Gail King. He tried to do, and that didn't help the dude at all. Just made him look even more crazy, in my opinion.
Hog tie.
Hog tie?
I don't know how to hog tie. Why would I hog tie? Hey, I tell you this. If there's one thing I believe about R. Kelly, he ain't hog tie nobody. That shit was sincere as hell. I tell you this, that man does not know how to hog tie. I never seen a man so sincere about something in my life.
But like, I mean, yeah, you're right. But still, even that whole interview.
Yeah, that Gail King thing was bad.
It didn't seem like it really helped his case. I know he's probably trying to do that to clear his name, but it didn't seem good at all because they have the interview. And if you watch some of these new outlets, they have bits and pieces of like the behind the scenes off camera stuff where he was just going on with himself, with Gail, with whoever else was in the room, little things like that. All in all, like I said, R. Kelly got what is coming his way, and that's 30 years plus more that's probably going to be coming his way. I have not listened to or heard an R. Kelly song in a couple years now, and I'm completely fine with that. And the sad thing is, R. Kelly has made good music. He has some songs out there that...
Good music's understatement.
He's made great music. Like, at his height, prior to all the things really coming out, like, yo, R. Kelly's music is playing clubs, cookouts, birthday parties, graduate. Like, R. Kelly's music is playing. Excuse me. Because he has great music like that. But then all this stuff comes out, and you think of the songs that he's made. Some of the songs, Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, and like, it don't, for me personally, I can't listen to his songs and think about who he is as a monster, and it just doesn't click for me. Yeah. So, like, I straight up went on my playlist, when Molasses, I deleted all R. Kelly. I'm all set, deleted all R. Kelly. His songs don't get played anywhere anymore. The amount of functions I've been where you hear a couple, you know, the step song, like, it don't even get played no more because nobody even wants to be associated with dude. And bottom line is, that's what he gets. That's all I can really say. That's what you get. You want to be a sick and twisted monster? You want to use your fame and fortune to push a different agenda in your life that's going to be illegal in a sense? You're going to... That's what you get, R. Kelly.
No, for real. All jokes aside, don't care for R. Kelly or and all of his actions. Everything you said, Mike, is true. He was a sick, twisted man. And I'm not someone who, you know, there's people that can separate the man and the music. I can't. Same with you. I don't have any of his music except for one. I have one, but he's a feature.
What song?
Biggie and R. Kelly. I'm Something Tonight. It's a great song. I think I heard it come up one day. I'm like, damn, I do have one R. Kelly song on my phone. Might have to scrub that off.
But I had the only song I had was that I had for a while because I was tough to get rid of was Contagious with the Isley Brothers. And after a while, a great song, but I was like, nah, this
and
gotta
like,
go.
Think this gotta go. He has some motivational songs, and I mean, we yeah. all remember I Believe I Can Fly.
Space Jam, that part of movie, I'm like, oh, damn.
But yeah, I mean, I can't separate the two. Like, I when I hear him, I know what he's done and all of his action. So I just have an ask for all the great singers in the world. Somebody remake Step in the Name of Love for me, please, so I can listen to that song again. I just need somebody to remake that song. Why not? Why can't someone remake the music?
At the end of the
music?
Day, R. Kelly still got an estate that somebody's running. And
need
for
someone
to remake that song, you're going to have to pay a lot of money.
Pay it. Pay it, damn it.
It'll never be truly your. A lot of these great artists, you can have some small time. A lot of these great artists, they're not gonna try to remake a song and feel like that estate is holding it over your head.
True, I'm just a selfish wish, man. Step in the Name of Love. was one of my favorite songs.
The man has some songs,
of
bro.
All time.
Songs that people can sing, you know, word for word. You ready to get up and dance to. But you can't. For most people, probably like myself, like you, like you hear the music and you just think of who the monster is that's singing these songs, and it's just like, nah, I can't do it.
Yeah.
So
that's where we're at with R. Kelly. I'm sure there'll be more news with when it comes to him. And the crazy thing about the R. Kelly situation is like the supporters that he still has is really wild.
All the women that love him. There's probably women that showed up to his court cases.
Yeah, it's
with signs and screaming and whatnot. No, he got the love out there.
That's crazy.
They don't care. Either people don't care what he did or don't believe it. Those are the supporters you have. I don't care. His music's great. I still love him. Or that's no way. R. Kelly wouldn't do that. That's how it usually goes with people. You know, some people just don't want to accept.
I guess. But sticking with the music. Conversation that we were having off camera is verses. The beauty of verses that's been happening right now.
Verses saved the pandemic.
It definitely helped the pandemic. And I saw someone upset during the Mario Omarion verses that you're like, why are they still doing verses? We're outside now. It's like, I think verses still holds a great place for the culture. I think now that they're doing it as concert styles and such like that, I think it's still very powerful, a very powerful tool. And as artists get older and grow their catalog, you can still add in new artists into verses. And so I think there's still space for it, and it's still very new how they can do it. You were bringing up how you liked how they did 2v2 this time.
That 2v2 was great. It was Pleasure P and Sammy versus Ray J and Bobby Valentino. I thought that was a really good versus.
Like, so like they can do so many different things and switch it up. And we were talking about the difference between R&B verses and a hip hop verse. Or even like we've seen some cultural verses as well, like with dancehall as well. But with I feel like with an R&B verse, it's very different. Cause you need to, not only do you need to have play your hits, but you gotta sing them Johns. And you gotta sing them Johns well.
Yeah.
And we see what happens when you don't. Omarion versus Mario. Mario came out and out sang the hell out of Omarion. And then reminded us too, like, yo,
I got some
hits y'all was listening to. Don't act like when I dropped in 2007, y'all was only listening to one song. I had some hits. And he did that. And Omarion looks really foolish. She looked foolish out there. And the fact that, you know, he didn't have the B2K help and all of that, it didn't go too well. At the end of the day, we want to hear vocals when it comes to on R&B verses. And if you don't have the real vocals, yikes.
Yeah, the vocals can really play a part. I'm thinking of another verse that happened between it was Bobby Brown versus Keith Sweat, I believe. Bobby Brown versus Keith Sweat. I think that was the verses that happened. And the thing with that Bobby Brown versus Keith Sweat, Bobby Brown at this stage in career can't sing like he used to.
No one really expects Bobby to sing.
Like, he's been through a lot. He's also older, but Bobby Brown cannot sing like he used to. Keith Sweat still got some vocals on him. The only issue was Bobby Brown just got too many hits in the bag in terms of himself, and then with New Edition.
His charisma as well.
And his charisma. So while Keith Sweat outsang Bobby Brown in terms of vocals, the hits just won it for Bobby Brown. On top of that, Bobby Brown, which is different from Omarion, Bobby Brown wasn't coming out there trying to dance to Mr. Telephone Man and
Telephone Man.
Can You Stay in the Rain? Like, Bobby Brown wasn't trying to do all of that. I don't even think Bobby Brown was on Can You Stay in the Rain. He sure wasn't. So sorry. But he wasn't trying to come out there and dance to New Edition songs. He just did his hits. He tried to sing as best he could, and them hits just carried him with his charisma to a victory over Keith Sweat, who sang better. Omarion versus Mario. I don't even know if Omarion could sing better, would that have saved him versus...
It wouldn't.
It wouldn't? No, nah. I don't even know if Omarion was singing better, that would have saved him versus Mario. I think...
I told you, bro. Even though I didn't know Omarion's vocals were going to be bad, if his first thing he was going to do was dance, it was going to be a rap for him. It was going to be a rap because we're not here for all that. Yes, performance matters in a versus. Mm-hmm. I definitely believe performance matters and how you come out. Like, even look at, you know, I know that I just said there was a difference between R&B and hip hop, but look at the hip hop segment with Lox versus Dipset. Lox treated that like a performance. Like, we're going to come out here and give everyone a show. Mm-hmm. Dipset was everyone's favorite.
I gotta watch that
versus. For obvious reasons, right? Dipset has some bang. I'm a huge Dipset fan. I was so disappointed on how they came out lackluster, thinking shit was sweet. Lox came out there and said, nah, this is how we're gonna rock this. This is how we're gonna shut things down.
Jadakiss
came out and said, I'm outside! That shit is crazy. That's monumental.
I gotta rewatch that.
It's monumental. So, like, things like performance does matter. But when it's R&B, have the performance, you gotta be able to sing. And you gotta have hits too. Omarion, did he have hits? Like, let me what's Mario's songs? Damn,
Icebox.
Icebox was a hit, but was it monumental? Was it monumental? Oh, it's not monumental. It's not songs that you play. Post to Be is his biggest song.
Probably.
Post to Be is Omarion's biggest song. They're not songs you play and you know word for word. You hear like, oh, that's my song. Oh, I like that song. But they weren't monumental.
There was one point in that verse. I mean, there was a lot of points in that verses where it seemed like it's over. There was one point in that verses. Omarion goes, yeah, I bet you don't have any international hits, and played some little reggae dance or whatever kind of song he got. And I mean, it's a decent song, nice little beat, but like, it's clearly not popular. I only heard the song because while I was trying to make one of my mixes, I came across it because it got a slight international vibe to it. But I was like, yeah, this song ain't really that nothing crazy. After he performed it, Mario came on. I was like, how this song international? They only play it over here.
Jesus.
He's not lying, because not like that song got any. Dude had a whole music video, everything. I ain't hear that song nowhere else other than YouTube when I was trying to have some free time. That's the only time I heard that song. Nowhere else. Never heard no club, never heard no brunch, never heard it, no nothing.
Bro, it's just hits are one thing, but what gives you moments, right? So Icebox and Let Me Love You came out around the same time.
Yeah.
You play Icebox in a function, people are gonna look at you like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, it's not that type of time.
Let Me Love You?
You put Let Me Love You in a function, don't matter what function it is.
You can mute the music and the whole place gonna sing it.
Everyone's gonna sing it. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Records hit different. Yeah. They're both hits. They're not the same.
Nah. Yeah, I wasn't again, you saw Mario and Omarion on paper. I think obviously because...
And Omarion's more relevant.
Yeah, exactly. Because Omarion's more relevant in terms of singing, dancing, and he has a couple movies out, and he was in a group that was pretty successful, people automatically assumed, well, bam, Omarion got that. I said that too. But that surely was not the case at all. Especially the fact that he didn't do any B2K till the very end when he knew the shit was over. He tried to say, like, his last song.
Oh, you watched it.
Yeah, I like R&B, so I watched the whole thing. I don't think it was till the last song. Did Let Me Love You, and it was over. And then Omarion was like, well, I was in a group, though, and played... Bump, 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 or some shit.
See, I don't like watching a murder. by the time it was halfway through, I said, yeah, this does not...
You didn't watch it?
I watched halfway through.
Oh, so you saw the part where he brought out the dudes to do his little dance thing in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, when Mario came out and he said, yo, I got B2K with me. Yeah, 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 I saw that part. I saw that part. When I thought it was going to be a fair fight.
It went downhill really quickly. But I think overall, man, I think Versus is definitely still relevant for sure. Even though it's definitely different from what it was when we were all locked up inside of COVID. And, oh, man, you better be on IG at 8 o'clock to see that Versus live. You know, obviously, it was a cool feeling because, you know, everybody was tuned into the same thing. You in group chats, you in whatever. You know, everybody's going to be talking about it. But I think, like you said, how it's transformed into, it's definitely Versus. It's kind of conscious style. And then you got some older heads who probably aren't as relevant today as they were during their peak, who can still come out and put on a good show with some of these songs that were huge during their times. I think that's great to see. Like, obviously, Mario, is he huge right now? No. But you come out, do a Versus, and perform some of your songs that hit back in 2015 and stuff. Oh, people gonna go wild. Sammy, he looked like a completely different person.
Sammy.
But he did some songs. On top of the fact that he can still sing, he did some songs that people remember. And you're like, okay, this song was definitely, like, I think it's definitely good to still have around. But while we still have a little bit of time, we can talk about verses that we'd like to see. I know we've had this conversation before, but again, verses still keeps happening, so we got to continue having this conversation.
Let's get straight to the juggler.
Hold on, real quick. I know what you're going
to
say.
Let's just get to it.
Real quick, before we get to that juggler, I know where you're going to go. Every time, because how I go back to peep the verses that happened, I'm going on the Wikipedia page of verses, and they have a section where it says upcoming or future potential verses. And I've been seeing this on here for a while now. They haven't removed it, haven't updated it at all. But it said potentially maybe a TLC Destiny's Child verses.
Oh, shit.
I think that would be...
Wow, that's nice.
First of all, that maybe break... The record right now is held by, I think, Monica and Brandy. I think TLC and Destiny's Child would break that, one, in terms of viewers. Two, I definitely think that's a solid battle.
Wow, that's nice. And with for some reason, we treat women versus a little differently. We don't go all out and be like, oh my God, Destiny Child killed TLC, or TLC killed Destiny Child. We when it comes to women versus, mainly we just celebrate both sides.
And oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, that's a nice celebration of both sides. They both killed it, give both of them the flowers. Mm-hmm. When it comes to male versus, we're
who's
like,
better?
We go, okay, someone got killed.
Who got the hits?
I mean, even the guys go at it more too. They make it like a versus. Like,
yeah,
oh,
Brandy
I'm gonna
and Monica
take,
wasn't doing it like
that. Celebrate. Oh, yeah, I'm giving her flowers. Erykah Badu and Jill Scott, the same thing. I'm giving flowers to this
even
queen.
Even Trina, something like that. Did even Trina happen?
I made sure not to watch that.
Even Trina happened. Yeah.
I don't know about that.
But yeah, a TLC.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be amazing. That would be amazing. A great tribute to.
If
to,
they keep
to
it
Left Eye as well.
Yeah, if they keep it strictly group music, I think it's definitely even.
They would have to.
You got to. It's TLC verse, but you know, all these verses, sometimes if somebody's in a group or whatnot.
I mean, yeah, maybe Kelly Rowland might want to get her shit off because she ain't going to have a verses with nobody.
I love how you always say Kelly Rowland.
Listen.
Beyonce killed TLC by herself.
Yeah.
No, but okay, we're not going to say that.
Beyonce's not allowed to do
it. Gotta be strictly Destiny Child's TLC.
Maybe Kelly won't want to play Motivation. She'll play Motivation on there, maybe.
Maybe Dilemma?
Dilemma, yeah. She's only Kelly Rowland, though.
Thing is, Destiny Child got a couple of different incarnations of the group. They're going to bring up the girls from Bills. And can you say my name?
That would be so dope, though.
Say my
did.
Name? If they brought those girls back up?
That would be so dope.
It'd be amazing. I'd like to see that.
That would be a dope moment.
Versus might be below Beyonce. But go ahead. Listen. You want to get to the juggler.
Let's get straight to the juggler, man. Come on. Like, let's not waste any time. When we talk about Versus, we just did an R&B thing. Everybody wants to do Usher, Chris Brown. That's what we want. Everyone wants to see. Everyone wants to talk about it. Who would win? I'm going to say this right now. Because before I used to go back and forth about it. Then the Mario one really kind of solidified it, and then Usher dropped the Tiny Desk, and it did it for me. And then the way Chris Brown's been acting, especially being upset that no one listened to his album. But
I did hear about that.
Chris Brown, camera on me. Whatever you do, do not accept the Versus battle with Usher. Don't do it. It won't end well. It just won't end well, brother. Usher's different. And this is why I say it. I get it. And I get the argument for Usher. I mean, I get the argument for Chris Brown. Chris Brown probably has 20, maybe 25 more hits than Usher. None of those hits move like Usher's hits. They just don't move like it. Chris Brown can play Run It. He can play the 2000 song. I'll let Mike name me any Chris Brown song that will go crazy, and I'll have an Usher song that's higher.
I'm not, you know me, I'm not good with naming songs off the top of my head. But there's no way I'm gonna let you sit here and say Chris Brown doesn't want that problem with Usher.
No, he does want that problem. That's my issue. I don't want him to have that problem. Chris Brown is very confident.
Here's my fear. And believe me, I'm on the opposite side. I would take Chris Brown over Usher. I mean, I'm more of a Chris Brown fan already, but I do rock with Chris Brown. A couple of Chris Brown songs more than Usher. My fear is, while Chris Brown can sing, he's a great singer. My fear is the Omarion effect. They do a versus. Chris Brown, you one of the greatest dancers of all time. Like, people put you on Michael Jackson level of dancing, entertainment, performance.
We're not here for all that.
If you do a versus, like, obviously you way bigger than Omarion. Let's not get that twisted. You probably dance better, perform better than Omarion. But if you do a versus Usher, ain't nobody gonna be there for the dancing, Chris Brown. I'm sorry. Nobody wanna see you bring out two, three, vocals, four back
vocals
dancers.
Vocals and music.
excuse me. I think right now, Chris Brown's life has spiraled in a weird way where I don't know if his vocals are weird. And don't get it twisted. Chris Brown is my boy. Like, I rock with Chris Brown's music, his new album, all 50 of them songs on the new album. I rock with some of them. I'm a Chris Brown fan. I just think he's been through a lot of stuff in his life where his vocals aren't where they were when he came out singing "Yo."
Yo is a great song. Those are the songs he would need to play.
Give me that.
Usher, give me that, and Burn. Like, they don't match.
I mean,
Usher's where he's been. And what if you watch the Tiny Desk? That's all you need to see. Like, yeah, this guy.
Chris Brown could do a Tiny Desk. Oh, he would kill it too.
He would kill it. But his hits didn't travel like Usher's hits.
Bro, I'm telling you, when Chris Brown played, the thing with Chris Brown
and I'm
Usher,
telling you, name me the songs, and I'm gonna tell you a bigger hit.
I can't sit here and name too long. My thing is, the thing with Chris Brown is right now, he's in a phase where he wants to put out millions and millions of songs.
Not
which
my problem.
In a sense, I feel like in his way it's hurting him. Because if Chris Brown can put out hits right now, he can.
Absolutely.
But his thing is, if you have an album of 50 damn songs, people gonna go through them 50 and be like, oh, that song's good, but damn, you got another 3-4 after that sound just like it. I think that's what's kind of hurting Chris Brown right now. He's a great artist. He's one of the greatest to ever do it.
Absolutely.
But the fact that you drop in albums of 20, 30, 40 plus songs is a problem.
And then he's wondering why nobody listens.
Because people want to hear that hit and be like, yo, I remember that song after that 15, 12 song album, but that one was good. I don't want to remember track 7 and be like, damn, but track
42.
14, 15, 16, 17 sound like that too. That's what's killing Chris Brown right now.
Still, Chris Brown dropped the IG and said, I'm dropping the deluxe. Not like y'all care anyways.
I didn't hear that. But I knew. Sure, for real?
He said, I'm dropping the deluxe. Not like y'all was going to buy it anyways.
I knew he dropped the deluxe Yo, you know what's crazy? I knew he dropped the deluxe because he felt a way about people not buying the initial Breezy album. I went to listen to the deluxe. I couldn't tell you what was the new songs and what was the
See, that's not good. I couldn't tell you
what was the new songs and what was off the deluxe. I couldn't. But and that's not necessarily a knock on. He's a bad artist. He's a bad singer. He's
not a bad artist.
It's just he's doing too much right now. I know you want to pump out songs. You want to get songs out there. But like, thing with Usher, when Usher make albums, 15 songs, right? 15, 12 songs, something like that. And obviously, songs that are good are gonna stand out. If Chris Brown chopped his albums in half, he's gonna have songs that stand out, and they're gonna be memorable. From okay, that album with 12 songs, them songs stood out. But I think overall, I'm not gonna completely knock Chris Brown and say he couldn't go toe to toe with Usher. I surely think he could. I just think in his current age, Usher not putting out like new music like that. He might feature on a song, but Usher. Because of what he's created in his past.
But I think it's the lure of everything, right? I'm not, because when I say this, I'm not knocking Chris Brown. Usher's reached a status where he's a legend.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Chris Brown's still in his bag. Mm-hmm. He's still in his current artist bag. Usher's not in that. Usher could drop an album right now. We're not saying, oh my God, Usher's one of the elites or whatever.
His status is solidified.
He's solidified. He's legend status. I would love to hear when Chris Brown plays Take You Down and then Usher hits him back with Superstar. Like, that would be it would be amazing.
I just think it would be a good battle.
It would be fun, but...
Don't dance, Chris Brown. I'll tell you that.
Ooh, but oh boy.
And vocals, I'm a little scared on Chris Brown's vocal set.
I just don't think it'd be good if one of them loses.
It definitely...
Because they're too hot. Someone would
take a slight hit.
They're too hot.
Not like they fall off from their legendary status, but obviously, like, damn, Chris Brown, Usher out sang Chris Brown like that.
That wouldn't be a good headline.
Or damn, Chris Brown can do all of that and perform like that and Usher can't. Damn, like, Usher's like 50.
43.
He's 43. Yeah. You
sure? I remember looking it up. Don't disrespect my dog. I remember looking it up. It's like he's 43, bro.
He's 43. Okay,
I remember looking it up.
I'm like, damn, that's just 43. Like, okay.
Yeah, he's up there.
Black Don't Crack. He still look like Usher from, you know, he still look like Usher. Nothing really changed. His Tiny Desk was dope. But yeah, I think overall, you saying Chris Brown don't want that problem. I'm saying I think it would be a solid competition for the world. I think for the world of R&B, that would be a beautiful versus. Just point blank, period. Oh,
boy.
But yeah.
I think we just look at, it's funny how we just look at male versus woman differently.
Because TLC versus Destiny would just get celebrated. I don't give a damn who got more hits. I just want to hear TLC and Destiny Child do their thing.
That'd be dope. That'd be awesome. I doubt, like you said, I doubt that happens.
It's below. All Usher, Chris Brown, Beyonce, like, to some artists, a versus is below them, one. And two, some of them just don't want to be in that situation, just in case.
Yeah. Like,
just in case.
You could end up looking bad.
Like Omarion right now.
You could end up looking bad in some cases, so.
Yeah. 105 of Double M Live, huh?
105 Double M Live. Another great episode here, man. Brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Hey, yo.
At Warm Studio. I'm hearing, rumor has it, we might be in a different location. That's okay. So you know what I'm saying? Just be on the lookout for that.
My boy Sam said it. It's going to be a warm summer.
Yes, sir.
Warm in Double M.
So this is Mike Nice. DJ Mies, this is Double M Live, episode 105. We'll see you guys next week when we're back at it again. Peace.
To the moon.